Reese's peanut butter cups are the greatest, but let me play devil's advocate here. Let's see. So, no, that's a good thing. that's definitely not a problem. Reese's, you did it. You stumped this charming devil.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
Hello, Raider Nation, and welcome to another edition of the Believe in Raiders podcast on the Believe Podcast Network. I'm your host, Dennis Ackerman. Well, did everyone survive the first weekend after the Super Bowl? Were you feeling a little depressed without football? Don't worry, it's normal. Just hang in there. Free agency is right around the corner, and then we have the draft in April, and hopefully this year, we'll have some OTAs so you can get a little bit of a football fix in the late spring or even perhaps early summer. And I know September seems like a long ways away, but just hang in there. It's going to go by a lot quicker than you think. But if you can't wait and you need some football fix this weekend, well, there's 12 college football Division II or FCS, whatever they're calling it, games this weekend. One on Friday, 8 more on Saturday, and 3 on Sunday. College football has you covered all weekend long. And you know who else has you covered? BetOnline.ag. Head there right now for all the point spreads and over-under on these games. And don't forget, there's still NBA, college hoops, and the NHL you can play as well. Whatever you're feeling, you should head to betonline.ag today because it has it all, from game spreads and totals to team, player, and coaching props. BetOnline gives you more options to wager than any place online. And there's always the online casino as well. It never closes. So head to betonline.ag today and take advantage of all the great sign-up bonuses. Again, that's betonline.ag, and sign up today. BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts. On Thursday, the second big quarterback domino fell. The Philadelphia Eagles shipped Carson Wentz to the Indianapolis Colts for a third-round pick in this year's draft, and then a conditional second rounder next year. The move reunites Wentz with Colts head coach Frank Reich, his former offensive coordinator in Philadelphia. Now, the Colts were looking for a starting quarterback after Philip Rivers announced his retirement after the end of last season. So, who's the next quarterback domino to fall? Well, just going to have to wait and see, aren't we? The NFL also informed teams that the 2021 salary cap will be no lower than $180 million, which is a slight increase from last year's previous agreement between the league and the NFL Players Association. Now, the $180 million is not the final cap figure. It's just an adjustment of the cap floor established by the two sides. The final number is likely going to be between $180 and $185 million, but most certainly on the lower end of that range. Okay, for more on the Raiders offseason, let me welcome in Josh Dubow, who covers the Raiders for the Associated Press. Josh, thanks so much for joining me. Really appreciate it.
Yeah, good to be with you.
How long have you been covering the Raiders?
This was my 16th season. So got there after with 2005 with Norv was the first year.
Any interesting stories that you could share with us from your time covering them? I'm sure there's a lot of them.
Yeah, there are a few. I think the top would have to be the overhead projector press conference. It was the Lane Kiffin firing was that day was something. So
did you have any idea what was coming that day when you saw the projector?
I saw when I went to put my recorder up there in front of Al, I saw that he was holding the letter that he had sent Lane. And I didn't really notice the projector at that point, but it was like, is he really going to read this whole letter? And by God, he did.
Do you think that was a low point for that franchise during his tenure?
No, I don't think that. I don't think the fire, I would probably say the next year, the bottoming out of Jamarcus in 2009, they had that stretch like against the Giants. Like they got 38-3. The Jets, I was thinking the Mark Sanchez eating a hot dog on the sideline. Like the 38-0 game at the Coliseum. And then, yeah, I think the bottom of Jamarcus was because even at the end of 2008, Jamarcus played okay for a couple games and they won the last two. And it's like, oh, maybe this is a turnaround a little bit. And then, you know, by 2009, it was clear he was, you know, he was done and they were starting over, basically.
They were. Calvin Johnson just got elected to the Hall of Fame, and he was the number two pick in that draft. Woulda, coulda, shoulda, right?
So, I think for the next 7 years after that, the Raiders were better than the Lions. So, even taking Jamarcus over Calvin, they still ended up winning more games than the Lions over the next, like, 6 or 7 years. So, it could be worse.
Josh, which Raiders quarterback is more likely to be traded? Derek Carr?
Mariota, no doubt. I'd be shocked if they trade Carr. I think for them to trade Carr, they would need someone to come in and blow them away with an offer, and I don't think anyone's going to do that. And I just don't think there's any way they're not keeping both. They can't pay Mariota, so the question is whether they can get an offer from Mariota or they just have to end up cutting him. But they're not keeping him on a $10 million. They're not keeping a $10 million backup quarterback. So I can't see him being back. So the question is, will someone wait him out until they cut him, or will someone make an offer and hope to get him first? So that's what we'll have to wait and see.
What do you think then they could realistically get for Mariota?
Maybe a mid-round draft. I don't think a lot. I think people know they aren't going to keep him. So it's a matter of whether you want him at that salary as opposed to you think he's, you know. And the question is, I don't know how much more he'd get on the open market. He might get less. So I don't know if anyone's going to even necessarily want him at the $10 million, $11 million salary that he has. If they think they can get him for less, if the Raiders cut him, they might not get an offer. I can't see them getting a big offer on it, but maybe a second or third day draft pick.
Josh, I'm in Derek Carr's corner. I'm a big fan of his, but I mean, if you pull this fan base, he might be the most controversial, the most lightning rod player that the Raiders have ever had. Why is that so, do you think?
I'm not certain why. I think, I would say he's probably not as good as people like maybe you. Yeah, I don't totally know what you think of him, but just by what you're saying that you're in his camp, that he's probably not quite as good as those people think. And he's definitely not as bad as the people on the other side think. But, you know, he's basically in that middle group of quarterbacks. The last couple of years, he's probably been above average. The couple of years before that, he was probably below average. But, he's essentially in that middle tier. And I think a lot of quarterbacks like that, you know, whether it's Jimmy Garoppolo in San Francisco, I think deals with the same thing where, you know, some people think he's, you know, he's the answer and some people think he's garbage. And, you know, I think it's, you know, I don't think it's totally unusual for quarterbacks to be. So, people have differing opinions on him. So,
right. Well, I think he's gotten better every year under Gruden. I mean, we know he had this breakout year in 2016 and then he kind of regressed. But the last 2 years, I thought he played very well. I mean, to me, he played well enough for this team to be in the playoffs. I mean, he doesn't play defense. And that was the Raiders' Achilles heel last year. And I think he's gotten better and better each year under Gruden. And I know a lot of people, you know, with the quarterback position, you take the good with the bad. But I think he's taken a lot of unfair criticism over the years. I do.
Yeah, you know, I think the issue is basically every year he's played, the offense has gotten worse the second half of the year, which I think is a concern. It's been a big concern the last 2 years for them. you know, I think, again, I think there are a lot of quarterbacks in that range. I don't think there's a whole lot of difference between the 8th or 9th best quarterback and the 20th best quarterback right now. You know, you have your elite quarterbacks, you know, who are, you know, top of the game, the Rodgers, the Mahomes, you know, the guys like that. And you got your quarterbacks who aren't any good. And then you got a big group in the middle. And I think that's where he is. And I don't – he's not going to be the quarterback that's going to elevate the team to make them great. You know, I think if things are good around him, I think the team can succeed. I don't know if they can get to the level they want to get to in terms of competing for championships and things like that with him. You know, I think that remains to be seen. I think, was the offense good enough to be a playoff team this year? Yeah, but it's probably you know, you're looking at, you know, their offense was somewhere between, depending on what measurement you look at, the offense was somewhere between probably 10th and 15th best in the league, which is, you know, making the playoffs, being a wild card, and going out and around if the defense is just average. So is that good enough, I guess, is the question.
Right. What do you think Trent Brown's future is with the Raiders?
That's an interesting question because, you know, I think obviously the injuries and just a lot, you know, in fact, he hasn't been available is a big concern, but the way the contract's structured, it's not a horrible contract this year. The $14 million is a lot, but it's, you know, for a starting tackle in the league, it's not like totally out of whack. It's, so if they think he can play in, you know, close to 16 games, I think there's a chance they bring him back. I think Gruden likes him. I think, you know, or likes him as a player. And I just don't know whether they have enough trust in him that he'll be available. But if they do, I think, you know, I can see him bringing back the 14 million is not a, if he plays, 14 million is not a crazy number for him. Obviously the issue is whether they think he'll play. So,
right. I want to stay with the offense and look at the skill positions. Now, wide receiver Nelson Aguilar, he's a free agent. I think he's very likely gone. That would leave them Henry Ruggs III, Bryan Edwards, and Hunter Renfrow. So, Josh, to me, they've got to look at free agency and a veteran to bring in to replace Aguilar, don't you think?
If they lose Aguilar, I think they need to. I don't think you can go in with Edwards and Ruggs as your starting receivers. I don't think they showed enough this year to do that. The question then is, you know, if you're going for one of the, you know, there's some good receivers out there who might be on the market. You know, I think some of those guys might get franchise tag or resign. But, you know, you got guys like Godwin and Allen Robinson and Galladay and, you know, even Juju Smith-Schuster, who probably not quite as good as those guys. But, you know, the question is that if you're spending for one of those guys, how much money do you have left for the defense at that point? Especially if you're keeping Trent Brown, you know, if you're keeping Trent Brown and signing one of those guys, you're basically, you know, that's basically most of your money. And, you know, maybe you can get one guy in defense, you know, and then hope you fill it with the draft. But I think that's, you know, I'm not sure that's the direction that they should go. So.
Well, you mentioned the defense. And, Josh, I said all along, I didn't think it was all Paul Gunther's fault when he got fired. I still question how much talent or lack thereof they have on that side of the ball. I mean, do you see any playmakers?
No, they don't have a playmaker on defense. They Max Crosby is a good player. He's not a difference maker. You know, Cleveland Furl's definitely not a difference maker. No one in the secondary is. Corey Littleton wasn't. You know, they don't have a guy who, you know, basically, you know, that the other offense has to worry about. You know, and game plan around and things like that. They just don't have that player, and I don't know how they're going to get that player. You know, drafting. Where they're drafting, it's going to be hard to get him there. And I don't know how many of those are available on the open market to get, but they need that. Or they need to be a difference maker, or they need to have no weaknesses on defense. And right now they've got a lot of holes on defense, and they don't have a guy who makes up for it. So that's a big problem.
It is a big problem. And that being said, a lot of these guys are coming back next year.
Yeah, you know, I guess that they're banking on the fact that the, you know, maybe the secondary will be better with another year of experience. Those guys were young, that maybe another year of experience, maybe a simpler defense will help those guys in the secondary. They obviously need it, you know, and then somehow they need to figure out a way to get a pass rush, because right now they have, you know, since Khalil Mack left, they just haven't had a consistent pass rush. They haven't had a guy, you know, again, Crosby is okay, but yeah, he can't be your best pass rusher. You need to find some, you know, they need to find someone else, whether it's through the draft or through free agency, to get to the quarterback. And that's Gus Bradley. You know, he's a guy who says, I want to build my defense through the pass rush and the defensive line. So if you're going to do that, you need some serious help there.
Yeah, they don't have enough playmakers up front to do that. Was Gus Bradley the number one choice all along for defensive coordinator for Gruden?
I think he probably was. You know, it definitely seems like it. I think Gruden wanted someone he could trust, someone who'd done it before, when John's focused on the offense, he can say, okay, I know the defense is in capable hands. So, you know, I think he was looking for someone who'd done it before, and in fact, you know, and had done it for a long time. So I think Gus was sort of the guy, at least whether he was at the top of the list or real close to it, you know, at the start of the process. And, you know, they got it done pretty quickly too. So,
Josh, if the Raiders offense could put up similar numbers in 2021 that they did in 2020, I mean, don't you think an average defense would be enough to get this team to double-digit victories?
You know, we'll see. You know, they were 10th in scoring and had the fourth most turnovers in the league. You know, in efficiency, they were about the 14th best offense, which is, I believe, they're the 8th best offense in the AFC in efficiency, you know, Football Outsiders efficiency stuff, which is not good enough to be the playoffs. They were, I think, the 6th best scoring offense in the league in the AFC, and 7 teams make the playoffs. Yeah, their offense was fringe playoffs, and their defense was awful, so they ended up being 3 games out of the playoffs. If their defense is average and their offense is fringe playoff, they'll be fringe playoff. And, you know, maybe it's good enough, maybe it's not. But I think the offense needs to be, you know, I think if they want to get in the playoffs and be able to compete in the playoffs, the offense needs to be better too. The defense needs to improve a lot, but the offense needs to, you know, basically to win in the NFL right now, probably the best way to win in the NFL consistently right now is have an elite offense and a not awful defense. And right now the Raiders have a not elite offense and an awful defense. So both need to get better.
Right. They got to improve in the red zone. That's for sure. That's been an issue since Gruden's come back. Josh, give me a percentage you think that the Raiders signed J.J. Watt.
I'd be shocked. So I don't think that's where he wants to go. He's going to have plenty of options at places he'd rather be. I'd be surprised. So
where do you think he ends up?
I don't know. Green Bay would make sense. I think Cleveland would make sense. I think the Rams would be interesting. I think Tennessee would make sense. You know, I think there are a lot of places that make sense for him. So that are teams that are probably a little ahead of the Raiders in terms of if he wants to win, and teams that probably have some money to spend on it, and, you know, or places that are more attractive to him, whether it's, you know, playing with his brother in Pittsburgh or going home to Wisconsin or whatever it happens to be. So I'd be surprised if the Raiders were the team.
I've been banging the drum about Richard Sherman. He's a free agent. I think he's an alpha male, which this young team needs. I think he's a generational, in his prime, was a generational type cornerback with Richard Sherman. I'm sure Raider fans have seen that. What do you think about the chances are that Sherman's in silver and black next year?
I think it's definitely possible. You know, I think all things being equal, I think he'd probably like to stay out west. You know, his family's, in Seattle and L.A. He's got ties to Seattle and L.A., so being in Vegas is close. You know, he knows Gus Bradley. You know, I think my guess is he's also going to want to be able to compete for a Super Bowl. So if there's a top contender that's interested in him, you know, that would be something I think he'd look at. I think he loves Robert Saleh. If the Jets wanted to bring him in to sort of be the alpha male on that rebuilding defense, you know, maybe he considers that. And then there's the question if someone's just going to pay him more than the Raiders are going to be willing to pay. You know, the Raiders don't have a ton of money to spend, and Gus Bradley talked about wanting to build through the defensive line. So if you're going to spend big money on the defensive line, if you're going to have to find a receiver to replace Nelson Aguilar and do that, then there might not be enough money left for the secondary for him. And whether they want to draft him and sort of move on from, or not move on, but at least sort of delay the Damon Arnett situation, you know, or whether they just want to say, you know what, let's see what Arnett and Trayvon Mullen can do. You know, I think that'll be an interesting decision for them.
So if you're following Gus Bradley's philosophy, if you're GM Mike Mayock, give me one name that you're going to target in free agency.
Like Leonard Williams would make some sense. You know, I think they definitely need an interior pass rusher. I think the draft is probably – you probably can find – it seems like there are more edge rushers available in this draft where they're picking. I don't know. too deep a dive into the draft, but it seems like Christian Barmar is probably the only defensive tackle, pass rushing defensive tackle you take in the first round. And if he's not there, you probably don't have that option. So, you know, Leonard Williams could fit there and you could get an edge rusher too in the first round and sort of rebuild that defensive line. He'd be an interesting possibility. You know, Sherman would be interesting going with the secondary and doing that. I think they definitely need to find a free safety. And there's some guys who could be on the open market that you look at there, whether it's Justin Simmons, Anthony Harris, Mark May. You know, there are a few options there that, you know, I think free safety's got to be that's what spot they just don't really have a starter right now at that spot. So, you know, you would think they'd have to target that too. So, you know, we'll see which direction they go. They probably can only afford to get, you know, a couple, you know, big time difference makers. So we'll see which positions they prioritize. And, you know, it might depend on who's interested in coming too. So they might have, you know, go different directions depending on who's out there. So,
Josh, free agency last year, the Raiders didn't get much bang for their buck. Nelson Aguilar was probably the most productive free agent. The draft didn't really, they didn't get a lot of productivity out of their rookies. Is this a make or break year for GM Mike Mayock?
You know, I don't get that sense yet. I think Gruden wants someone in that role. I think he works well with Mayock at this point. I think a lot of decisions are John's anyway. So, I think John's still got ultimate say over what happens. So I'd be surprised if Mayock were out after this year, but obviously you have another disaster, if you get another Malik Collins, Corey Littleton, free agent class, and don't get production out of your rookie, it'd definitely be a concern. But I would probably bet against that. So,
final question for you: give me one Raider who you look to make a big improvement in year two with the team, whether it was a free agent from last year or someone in the draft class.
Maybe Bryan Edwards. I'm not sure why. The way things are with COVID and things like that, and me being still based in the Bay Area and not making it out, I didn't get to see him practice. So, but the reports I saw from him at practice, from what people saw at practice, was that they thought he was going to be really good. You know, I think he would be the guy. I think Ruggs is what he was. You know, I think he can be more productive than 25 catches or whatever it ended up being, but. You know, I don't think he's going to be, you know, a 90, 80 catch. I don't think he's going to be a number one option guy. I think he's a complimentary piece. But I think Edwards can take a big step and sort of be that, you know, sort of fill a little bit of what Nelson Aguilar did last year and sort of be that number one receiving option along with Waller, you know, from the wideout spot. But I probably see that more than Ruggs taking a huge leap or Arnett making a big leap. So I would say Edwards.
I agree with you on Ruggs. I don't think he's ever going to be a number one, but I think the Raiders also got to do a better job of getting him more involved in the offensive slants and jet sweeps and things like that. Hey, Josh, thanks so much for joining me, man. This was great stuff. Appreciate you sharing your Raider knowledge with me.
Yeah, no problem. Good talking to you. So,
just a reminder, Raider Nation, you can read Josh at the Associated Press, and you can also follow him on Twitter at Josh Dubow AP. I want to take a brief moment to talk about our newest sponsor, eBay. Whether rare dead stock or the latest release, find the exact shoe you're looking for. As the original sneaker marketplace, eBay is the place to go to cop the pair you've been eyeing. With eBay's authenticity guarantee, your sneakers are meticulously inspected by independent professional authenticators. A team of experienced sneaker authenticators verify the box, logo, stitching, and dozens of other inspection points. Each sneaker also receives an authenticity guarantee tag that includes a digital stamp of authenticity. And it also protects sellers with a verified return process. And for sneaker sellers out there, eBay has eliminated selling fees on sneakers $100 or more, making it free to sell or flip your collection. Go to ebay.com/sneakers today. eBay, the world's best destination for discovering great value and unique selection. All right, Raider Nation, that's going to do it for this edition of the Believe in Raiders podcast. I'm Dennis Ackerman. Thanks so much for listening, and may all your punts find the copper corner.
Reese's peanut butter cups are the greatest, but let me play devil's advocate here. Let's see. So, no, that's a good thing. that's definitely not a problem. Reese's, you did it. You stumped this charming devil.